2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Live Mic. 2:20 is the time. We're in the final stretch here, about 40 minutes left to Live Mic before we sign off for the final time. Head things over to Boyd Matheson on Monday, who will deliver inside sources from 1 until 3 weekdays here on KSL News Radio. But with 40 minutes left to go, we still have a job to do. And I have, ever since I knew that this would be my final day here on the air, I knew there was someone I wanted to be a part of this episode, and that is my former boss, Congressman Rob Bishop. Sir, welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, thank you. I guess I'm flattered that I'm the last one you'd consider for your show.
Oh no! I mean, there are still more to come. You're not like the last one. No. The cherry.
I don't even get that. Okay, fine.
One of the last, of course. listen, when I ask how are you, that carries a little extra weight right now. Last time you and I spoke on these airwaves, you were in the midst of recovering from a mild stroke. What's the report you can give on folks today? How are you doing?
Much better. It's improving. I'm not quite there yet. My right side still does not have the strength it had before, but it's like 80%. So I'm running. I don't need a walk or anything. So it's getting better. Give myself another month and I'll be able to move again, hopefully.
Outstanding. You and I used to play racquetball quite often. How long before we can do that again?
That's what I'm hoping. I want a month. I could do it right now as long as I only have to run in one direction.
Well, you were pretty stationary when we played, so maybe you'll be all right.
Okay.
They
don't know what that means, do they?
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. Racquetball, if you don't remember, it was a sport popular in the 80s, and some of us are just catching up to it now. There are some players who will plant themselves in the center of the court and really just obstruct the movement of the other players. Everyone has their own styles. Some people like to use quickness and tact and skill. The other class of players, they plant themselves right there in the middle, and you are of the latter class. Is that correct?
Yes, not defined the way you did, but it's if you're in the middle, it's easy to reach everywhere else, and other people have to run around you, and that's fine with me.
There you go. Listen, we do have some serious stuff to touch on here today. You are part of this independent redistricting commission, the makeup of which was announced early February, which will, once you know, you get your hands on the census information, you and this commission will be tasked with drawing up boundaries for the Utah's congressional districts. What does a process like that even entail?
Well, it's going to be difficult. The Boundary Commission doesn't draw up maps. They draw up recommendations to give to the legislature on what the lines should or should not be. And since it's never happened in Utah before, where it's happened in other states, the commissions have been popular if they defended incumbency, and they were unpopular if they didn't. So I don't know how this particular commission will work out. We're having our first meeting as a body very soon, within a couple of weeks. There will be staff that a request for employment has been put out, and I think it closed for a director on Sunday. So there will be some staff that will have to be working with them. And the sad part is usually the data that is used is available by April, first part of April, mid-April at latest. This will be available, we're now told, probably by the end of August, maybe not, though, into September sometime, which makes it very, very very, very short area, because the legislature has got to approve something in December.
So the likelihood of of the recommendations coming from the redistricting commission on which you will sit, forwarded on to the legislature, and that vote cast. When is the earliest likelihood that these boundaries will be relevant or in place, I should say?
Well, like I say, our recommendation will legislature, and we've got to give them time as well to do their job. You're going to have the new boundaries by the first of the year, because that's when people start going out, they're gathering signatures, and they've got to know where the districts are. So that means it has to be passed by the legislature, everything done in December.
Okay.
So you've got that short time window for both the legislature as well as this commission, basically roughly September through the end of November, to do a mountain of work, and that's going to be extremely difficult to do. There will not be the kind of thought process that I think it's had in other years, simply because there won't be that time. And look, I've been involved in redistricting efforts for the past four cycles that we have had them, and this will be probably the most problematic and challenging of all of them.
What elevates that level of problem? Why will this be difficult?
Well, the time commitment, as well as coming up with criteria of what's going to be important. It used to be at one particular period of time, it was just having population equality was the most important concept, until they started drawing minority-majority congressional districts. So then I think the court said, no, continuity is going to be important, as well as population equality. The compactness of the district has to be there. Trying to abide by geopolitical boundary lines is important. And there has to be a philosophy you go into this process that we as a commission have to decide, as well as the legislature, as which of those priorities are most important, because you're going to violate some of them, so you have to rank them. Same concept when it comes to congressional districts. There have been people that said there needs to be separate urban and rural districts. There have been people who have said there needs to be urban and rural districts within each district, so that a congressman is required, whether he or she likes it or not, to represent both urban and rural issues and interests of the state. I have seen other states that don't do that, and they've always had problems with the delegation. I've seen it in Utah, where we have not valued that, and there are problems in Utah. And I have seen where Utah has had both all congressional districts sharing both urban and rural areas, and it really does have a lot of very promising, positive outlooks and outcomes because of that approach.
Is this responsibility which you and the rest of the commission bear, is this one of those circumstances where success is measured by upsetting everyone with the outcome ultimately?
That's the easiest way. I mean, look, a lot of people talk about district lines being gerrymandered. And by the way, the name is gerrymandering, not gerrymandering.
Good for you.
Yes. Named after Elbridge Gerry, not Elbridge Gerry. So the gerrymandering has been called, but most people claim gerrymandering only when their side didn't win. And that's the excuse they make for having not appealed to the electorate. So usually the charge of gerrymandering is highly suspective. It's there's no definition of it. It's in the eye of the beholder, and a lot of people throw it around without much caution in how they use that term.
Well, I look forward to watching this process play out, even with its truncated timeline. And if I'm honest, I don't envy the responsibility you bear right now. I know that it will make you and all the rest on this commission likely the target of criticism. And I wish you the best of luck navigating this and, fighting for the priorities you feel are important, and ultimately making recommendations to the state legislature.
Well, if I can do one postscript right here.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons why I'm actually not necessarily that happy that you're leaving KSL and going back, although it's going to be personally great for you and for your family, and you'll be a wonderful addition to the Senate staff because you know what's going on there. But the reason I appreciated having you out here is because you understood how things in Washington work. And I've read and heard a lot of reports and read articles that I just consider to be naive in the way they try to describe what's happening in Washington and what is or is not happening in Washington. And that's one of the things that you were able to work through. So I was very happy to see how you instantly understood that some of the things that we hear and read about, just that they don't happen that way. And that voice of understanding is actually going to be missed here in Utah. So I'm happy for you. I'm not happy for us.
Well, boss, those are kind words. Thank you for sharing them, and thank you for your friendship.
Thank you. And I will stay in the middle of the court.
You're that kind of player.
Yeah. Whatever it takes to win.
There it is. Former Congressman Rob Bishop, my guest here on the final episode of Live Mike. We'll take a break real quick, and when we come back after the newscast, I will be joined by Andy Field of ABC News to give us an update on the goings-on in Washington, D.C. right now surrounding the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol, which has left one United States Capitol Police officer dead and another in the hospital. Those details next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com. or wherever you get your podcasts.